Well, look in Ezekiel 34. There's a lot of people missing it because the Lord wants to be the shepherd of His people. He don't want any man to be the shepherd of His people. Jesus is the shepherd.
Right.
And when we speak and we act and we live for Jesus, then He can move through us. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me.
Amen.
And Christ has the authority to move through us and speak and judge and do whatever He needs to do through us. But we don't have any authority. We have no authority to speak for the Lord, to judge His people, or to have authority over His people. We don't have any of that. We have only one right, and that is to die. But Jesus, through us, can do all things.
And,
right. They're given to be channels. They're given only to be channels. They are not given any authority outside of Christ. A minister has no authority outside of Christ. Christ is the head of every man. The Bible says that. So if they're outside of Christ, they have no authority. They cannot have authority over God's people. Jesus wants to be. See, people have put themselves in the position, just like Rick was saying, between man and God. That's the Nicolaitan era. Some priesthood that's over us, between us and God, to bring us to God. Nikao, which means to conquer, and Laetan, which means the laity. The thing God said in Revelation chapter 2, He said, I hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans, God hates, because there is no one between us and God but Jesus. And so, but men haven't understood that. Men have taken that God has given them authority over His people, which is wrong. Look in Ezekiel 34. Let's just read down through there and see some of these principles. You'll see it. Because God is going to again be the shepherd over His people. He personally is going to shepherd His people. And how is He going to do that? It's very simple. If I only do what God leads me to do and what God gives me to do, then what comes out is Jesus. But if I take authority in some area that I'm not gifted and that I'm not led, then it's me. And God is very particular about it. Just like Rick was saying there, in the abundance of counselors, there's safety. And in the abundance of counselors, there's wisdom, Scripture says. The combined wisdom of the counselors that God puts together in a body is supposed to, you know, this is not permitted in today's body because of the Nicolaitan era, but in a normal scriptural body, the combined wisdom of the leadership that's there is the mind of Christ. And if each one of those only moves in the gift that God has given them, then you have Jesus shepherding His church. But if they're doing it their way, each one of them doing what they want to do, stepping over into other areas where they're not gifted, taking authority over ministers that they don't have the gift of, then it's them ministering and not the Lord. In Ezekiel 34, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, even to the shepherds, thus saith the Lord Jehovah, woe unto the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. And listen, I mean, that's really happening today. How is it that they feed themselves? Well, they feed themselves on the prestige that they get for having a body and for having authority in a body, you know. The disciples didn't understand this. Jesus told the disciples, He said, look, this is the Gentiles love to lord it over one another. They love to enjoy having authority over one another. But He said, it's not going to be that way among you. He said, the greatest among you is going to be the servant. God gives honor. We can't seek it. In the church, I mean, Jesus didn't seek to be glorified, but the Father saw it. Jesus said He didn't seek His own glory, but another who judges seeks His glory, and that was the Father. Jesus even sought to hide sometimes when He did miracles, or the lame man by the pool of Bethesda, you know, he sought to give God the glory, and Him just fade into the background. But the Father didn't allow that. There was a time when the Father wanted to glorify Jesus because Jesus didn't want to glorify Himself. That's the whole point.
If we seek to glorify ourselves, the Father doesn't seek to glorify us. But the shepherds feed themselves, according to Ezekiel here. And that's the truth. I mean, they seek their own glory. They don't let a gift make their way for them. They make their own way by demanding authority or putting themselves in a Nicolaitan position whereby that they are given supreme authority over all the rest of God's ministry and over the body of the church. And they become, in effect, just what Rick said, they take the position of Jesus in the church, which no one has that authority.
Yeah.
I don't have any authority to speak or demand authority over anybody. Jesus gives authority by the gift that he puts in people. We don't demand authority. The authority is earned, it's given by Jesus, by the gift that he's put in. I should submit to every man where God has put a greater gift in him. I don't care who it is. God has put a greater gift in that man in some area, whatever area it is, I need to submit to him for my own good. And the scripture says, submit one to another. You know, the reason for that is we need one another. And so he goes on to say that you eat the fat and you clothe you with the wool. In other words, they're a partaker of the natural benefits of the sheep, you see. You eat the fat and you clothe you with the wool. You kill the fatlings, but you feed not the sheep. Boy, I'll tell you, that's the truth. There's very little food in the churches today. Why? Because there's not a personal relationship between the minister and the Lord. And because ministers get outside of their gift and start being everything that the body needs, God doesn't gift it that way, because God won't share his glory with another. So he disperses his gifts. He ascended on high and he gave gifts unto men, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. And yet how is the saint going to get perfected when they've only got a pastor in a local body? I mean, he's the one that has supreme authority. You don't see that in the scriptures anywhere.
Can you tell me that verse where it says pastors and evangelists and...
Yeah, Ephesians. Ephesians 4, 11, 12. How are we going to come into the fullness of God and under the full-grown stature of Christ, which that verse says, verse 13 says, without this many-faceted, many-gifted ministry? Okay? It says, you eat the fat, you clothe you with the wool, you kill the fatlings, but you feed not the sheep. The diseased have you not strengthened? Neither have you healed that which was sick? Well, that covers an awful lot of ministries there. You know, more ways than one. Neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought back that which was driven away. Many times what's driven away, according to Jeremiah, it's the pastor driving away. Pastors who have driven, the shepherds who have driven his sheep out from the body, rejected them for one reason or another.
That's what's happened in our church.
I think that's in Jeremiah 50 or so. Look at that. Yeah. Jeremiah 50 and 6. It's the Babylonish shepherds that have done this. It says, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. From mountain to hill. You see, it's supposed to be the other way around, right? It's supposed to go from hill to mountain. You know? It's supposed to be going upward in your walk with the Lord. They have forgotten their resting place. They that found them have devoured them. What is that? The world, the devil, the curse, you know? And their adversaries said, we're not guilty because they have sinned against the Lord. That's true, but you see, wisdom can keep you from sin. There's a lot of wisdom in the scriptures that will cause us to have the fear of the Lord and cause us to have faith that delivers us from sin, you know. And yet the pastors don't know how to teach that necessarily. The habitation of the righteous, even the Lord, the hope of their fathers, flee out of the midst of Babylon and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans. Be as the he-goat before the flocks. Lo, I will stir up and cause to come up against Babylon a company of great nations from the north. See, God is fixing to destroy what we know as traditional religion that permits such a thing. Permits men in a position of authority who are not gifted to be there, just like Rick was saying. A Saul before a David. God sent a lesson to Israel by sending them a Saul before he sent a David. A Saul was a guy that went out in his own strength and did his own will and was promoting his own kingdom. So one of Saul's first acts was to go out when Samuel told Saul, you wait until I come to sacrifice. And when Saul didn't see Samuel coming to sacrifice on the third day, like Samuel had said, he forced himself and he sacrificed to go out against his enemies. He didn't wait on the word of the Lord. He didn't humble himself to the word of the Lord. It came through Samuel. So he went out and sacrificed, lost his whole kingdom. The same thing happened to David. God told David, he said, you wait for the rustling of the mulberry trees and then go out because I'm going to go out before you. David obeyed. David waited. He waited on the movement of the Spirit to go out and do what he had to do. That was the main difference between David's ministry and Saul's ministry. And that's what the Lord told me back when, just the morning I had heard about Jimmy Swaggart on the news that evening, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I'm moving the Saul ministries out of the way and I'm making room for the David ministries. In other words, there's a whole generation of ministry that God is moving out of the way, making room for a ministry that has been humbled, that's been in the background, that have lived the life, that have gone through and have lived what they're teaching.
Yeah.
And have learned to follow the Holy Spirit and not go out ahead of the Holy Spirit. Not move, being moved by sight like Saul. Saul was moved by sight. He saw the enemy. He knew the need. He said, let's go. We're going to do it. He did it. But David wouldn't do that. He knew the enemy. He saw the need. But he wasn't moved by sight. He was moved by the Spirit. The wind in the mulberry trees was the movement of the Spirit to go out ahead of him. And that's the way God's ministers have got to be. They've got to not do anything unless it's God doing it. If you do it, it's you doing it. And it's not Jesus shepherding his sheep. That's what I wanted to get back to over in Ezekiel. Go back to Ezekiel, because that's where he was leading up to. That look, the Lord can shepherd his sheep. That's the whole purpose of him setting up the fivefold ministry, is for him to shepherd the sheep, not man to do anything. We have no right, like I said, we have got no right, personally, to do anything but die on a cross. We're to take up our cross and follow Jesus. We have got no authority. We have got no right. We cannot judge. The Bible says, don't judge you or you'll be judged. We cannot unforgive. And yet, and the Bible says, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. But at the same time, he gave his ministers authority to bind sins. In John chapter 20, under Lucifer, he gave them authority to judge, the thing that he said we cannot do. See? God, through us, cannot forgive a person. Jesus had authority on earth to forgive or to not forgive. He said, you may know I have authority on earth to forgive sins. He told the man who was lame, rise, take up your mat, and go. He showed him he had authority to forgive sins. And he gave us the same authority. He said, whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. And whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. Meaning what? But I thought he said in Matthew 6 we had to forgive every man his sins. That's right, we do. We have to always forgive. But as a ministry for God, what God can do through us is something different. He cannot forgive. He can not forgive a person in their sins. I think it's in Mark. Now I don't remember where it is now. But he said, if your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. But in Matthew chapter 6, he says, forgive everyone, except you forgive everyone. In Matthew chapter 18, he says, except you forgive everyone, your brother from your heart, he'll turn you over to the tormentor. But here he said, if he repents, forgive him. What does that mean? It means what you cannot do, the Holy Spirit through you can do. We have no authority to minister for the Lord. We have only the authority to be used by the Lord. That's our authority. Because if we're doing it, then we're sinning. That's right. We have no authority to do anything. That's what the rest was all about. He said, you've caused them to forget their resting place. What is the rest? The rest was what? The seventh day when what? You ceased from your works. We have to see small works. Even ministry, we have to see small works. Why do we see small works? Because if we don't see small works, the Lord can't use us. We have to see small works so the Lord can flow through us. That's what is the Christian life is all about, is learning to cease doing what you want to do, even if it's good things for God. Serving God. Doing God's will. Ceasing from it so that God can flow through you. Paul said, in his weakness, God could be made strong. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. My weakness. God even sent Paul, an angel of Satan, to humble him because of his greatness of his revelations. And Paul said he was given glory in his weaknesses, because in his weaknesses, God could be made strong. In other words, when you can't do, God can do. As long as you're strong to do, I mean, look at the ministers now. It's not the Moseses that you see out there, just like Rick was saying. It's not the Moseses, those that are meek and humble and mild. It ain't. It's the people that the world looks at as somebody who's a good speaker, good looking, always bold, always outgoing. You know, have you ever noticed that? But God didn't choose that. What did he say he chose in 1 Corinthians? The weak things of the world to confound the wise. What did Paul say? I didn't come to you in persuasive words of wisdom. He wasn't a good talker, was he? He wasn't even good looking, obviously. I mean, he didn't, you know. Paul was not the kind of guy that the worldly church nowadays would have picked, is he? No. Well, look at God's people when they picked a king, you know. And God picked it for them because he wanted to show them. They picked a Saul. They picked their Saul, okay? What was their Saul? He was a head taller than all the rest of the people around him. Good looking, you know. I mean, that's what the scripture says.
Yeah.
Bold to do his own thing. He knew what God needed, and he was going to go out and do it for him, you know. Real do God's will. But look at the second Saul. He obviously wasn't anything like him. Humble, meek. He said he was among them in fear and trembling, you know. He wasn't really an outgoing person. He didn't like to get up in front of people and, you know, be a good speaker and all that. God picked somebody that he wanted. He had to re-educate the guy. The guy had all of his theological education, and yet God had to pull him aside and re-educate all. He had to throw all that out the window. Saul, we're going to start over. You know, you've got all the people going through the seminaries now, coming out with all their worldly knowledge, but they haven't sat at the feet of Jesus. They were Martha's. Martha's run and do, but the Mary sit at the feet of Jesus.
Right.
And if you haven't been sitting at the feet of Jesus, you're not ready to run and do. We got to get the board out of our eye before we can see clear to get the mold out of our brother's eye. That's the problem. You got ministers out there, they have never lived what they're teaching. They've never had to walk the walk of faith. They've never had to live. They've never humbled themselves to someone else.
Took up their cross.
You've got, it's the cross before the crown, always.
That cross hurts.
Yeah. No cross, no crown. Men may put one on you, but it'll fall off when the Lord comes. That's the problem. Look what it says here. Have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with rigor have you ruled over them. Verse 4, Ezekiel 34. See? Our authority don't come that way. He said, with force and with rigor have you ruled over them. We don't have to command people what to do. If they want to obey God. You see, God gives us a free decision. If we want to obey God, we're blessed. If we don't, we're cursed. We don't have to make people do something that they don't want to do. If they don't want to serve God, okay, go get your whipping. I don't have to force you into some... See, the ministers don't understand that. Look at them trying to force the whole country into their mold as far as this abortion thing. Okay? No, God gave them people a free choice. Don't you try to take it away. See, God knows that. God wants man to have a free choice. He wants that. Why? Because you're blessed or cursed according to your free choice that God has given. And he wants that there. He said, I said before you this day, a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing if you obey it, and it's a curse if you don't.
It exposes the heart.
We don't. If we can force someone in to obey in God, then we have not converted that person. See? If you can force someone to obey God, there's no reward for that. There's no grace in that.
They're miserable too.
So here's the pastors think they have a worldly authority, just like Rick was saying. they've got a funny idea of what authority is in the kingdom. It's not a worldly authority. These two men came up to Jesus, and one of them says, "Lord, decide between us. Make my brother divide his inheritance with me." Jesus said, "Man, who made me a judge over you?" Now, wasn't that a strange thing for Jesus to say? "Man, who made me a judge over you?" Wasn't he a judge? Wasn't he a king? But his kingdom was not of this world. And his judgment wasn't either. He wasn't interested in that kind of thing. You know? He was interested in the spirit realm. You know? And so, we'll look at 1 Peter 5 along this same lines, okay? 1 Peter 5, chapter 1. Notice, too, that Peter's calling himself an elder. You know? Peter wasn't the apostle, which he was, the apostle. But an apostle's an elder. And a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, evangelist. All these are elders. And they were just all brethren. And that's what Jesus said. Not to lord it over one another. He said, "All of you are brethren." That's what he said. From the greatest to the least, you're just all brothers. Not lords over God's heritage. Brothers. He said, "The elders therefore among you, I exhort, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, who am also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." He says, "Tend the flock of God, which is among you." And exercising the oversight here, by the way, which mine says, there's no numeric pattern in it. Most ancient manuscripts don't have it in there. But it says, "Tend the flock of God which is among you, not of constraint," see that? "Not of constraint, but willingly." In other words, that's on their part. I mean, look, if you want to go somewhere else, I'm not going to threaten you, you know? Have you ever seen that happen? You ever seen it? We was talking to a guy the other day. He threatened his people. One guy came over here. Well, Leon came over here. Leon, and he started threatening him, you know. But all he was missing God. Just automatically knew he was missing God because Leon didn't want to listen to him. He wanted to come over here, you see. If God leads somebody somewhere else, he leads them somewhere else. I mean, that's it. John the Baptist didn't feel threatened because his people were going over to Jesus. I mean, they told John, says, "Look, everybody's going over to Jesus. Just don't worry about it. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. A man can receive nothing except it come from heaven." Meaning what? Meaning, well, if they're going, then God's with them, you know. Let them go, you know. Praise the Lord. In other words, he didn't feel threatened. He didn't try by manipulation or by authority to keep his kingdom intact or by legalism, keeping it running, like the tithe, for instance, you know. By legalism to keeping it running. Pastor shouldn't be a pastor for gain. Yeah. But of ready mind. Neither as lording it over the charge allotted to you. In other words, they're not lords. Pastors are not lords. They're just brethren. That's all they are. They got a different job, but they're just brethren. That's it. Neither as lording it over the charge allotted to you, but making yourselves examples to the flock. And this is the way leadership works. Being an example. And when the chief shepherd, that is, who's the chief shepherd, of course, you know, he is the shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. He's the one who moves through all shepherds who are true shepherds. When the chief shepherd shall be manifested, you shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger be subject unto the elder, and so on and so forth. Go back to verse 5.
Yeah,
because he's going to come to something that's astounding here in Ezekiel 34 to me.
And his sheep being scattered all over the place.
Yeah, and they were scattered because there was no shepherd. Wait a minute. I mean, they had the shepherds. But he's saying there was no shepherd. In other words, these guys ain't shepherds. See? Why are the sheep going from church to church, even in our day, jumping around, running here and running there, and the shepherd's beating them over the head saying they're church hoppers? Why are they doing that? Because they're hungry. They're starving to death. There's no food. You feed yourselves, but you don't feed the flock, the Bible said. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food to all the beasts of the field. Okay, what is that? The demonic activity out there, the worldly activity that's destroying even Christians, you know? "And were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my sheep were scattered upon all the face of the earth, and there was none that did search or to seek after them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord Jehovah, surely for as much as my sheep became a prey, and my sheep became food to all the beasts of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my sheep. But the shepherds fed themselves, and fed not my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the sheep. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore. Well, I'm telling you, this is happening now. This is happening before our eyes. When he said he's going to move the Sauls out the way and make room for the Davids, look what's happening. The Sauls are beginning to not feed the sheep anymore. And I will deliver my sheep from their mouth, that they be not food for them. For thus saith the Lord Jehovah, behold, I myself, even I, will search for my sheep, and will seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that were scattered abroad. So will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all the places whither they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples, and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. What is that? This land here. I'm talking about spiritually speaking. Apply this to the church now. Not to literal Israel, but apply it to spiritual Israel, okay? And I will feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the watercourses and all the inhabited places of the country. And I will feed them with good pasture. And upon the mountains of the height of Israel shall their fold be. There, and the height, of course, it's talking about overcoming, the mountains, Mount Zion, you know. And there they shall lie down in a good fold and on fat pasture, and they shall feed upon the mountains of Israel. And I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. And the Lord showed me something about this, because when you read on down, you see that David became, he said, my flock will be one shepherd. I will set up one shepherd over them, and that'll be David. Well, he showed me that David, spiritually speaking, is a corporate David. Not a one-man David, it's a corporate David. Jesus is that David.
Yeah.
But Jesus is also a corporate Jesus in the earth today, that's ministering to his people, the shepherd. He said, I myself will shepherd my sheep. How's he going to do that? By ministers who are not doing what they want, but are being a channel for Jesus to speak through, Jesus to heal through, Jesus to deliver through. See, he's not talking about doing away with the shepherds, plural. He's talking about setting up a shepherd in the land that won't be a worthless shepherd, Ezekiel talked about. But it'll be a shepherd that won't do his own will, but will enter into his rest to let the Lord move through. See, this is how the Lord's going to shepherd the sheep. This was his plan from the beginning. This was his plan when he set up the fivefold ministry, was that these men not do their own will. These men just be vessels of honor that God could move through. God could gift in certain areas, you see. I enjoy it. I've talked to other ministers that were unhappy in their work, real unhappy in what they do. In fact, they went through a thing that is common among ministers called minister burnout. Look, when this thing's working right, there's no such thing as burnout. I enjoy doing what I'm doing because I'm not trying to do something I'm not supposed to do. If these ministers would only move in the gift that God has given, in the thing that they were designed to do, there would be no such thing as burnout, because it just flows easily. It's graceful. It's a joy to do what God has designed you to do. And it's a burden to do something when you're doing it because you know the flock needs it, and here you've been set up over the flock like the king of Israel. See? Who ran the kingdom before the kings were set up? Well, the judge is judge, but look, you had the elders of Israel. See? Now, see, what we've done away with, the church has done the same thing Israel fell into. Done away with the elders, we're going to make the kings. 1 Samuel chapter 8, we talked about it. We're going to do away with the elders. The plurality of ministry in the body. We're going to do away with that. We're going to set up a king to go out before us and come in before us. We'll go back to read that when we get through here, because we'll go back over and see what God promised him when he said he was going to send him Saul. What God promised him. what God promised them was bondage.
Yeah.
When you want the king, okay. Samuel, don't worry about it. They haven't rejected you from being king. They rejected me from being king over them. See, when you want a king, somebody to be your Nicolaitan headship, you're rejecting God. You're rejecting God from being king. Because one man don't have all the gifts. One man is not gifted to be the fivefold ministry. God don't share his glory with another man. That's why he distributed the gifts. And he said that he was he sent gifts among men, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, so on and so forth. But he said, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord. And I will seek that which was lost, and I will bring back that which was driven away, and I will bind up that which was broken, and I will strengthen that which was sick. The fat and the strong I will destroy. I think it was Pauline had a vision of a certain shepherd, and his name was Mr. Strong. And this Mr. Strong had a heart attack. And he said, the Lord said, but the fat and the strong I will destroy, and I will feed them in justice. You see, if you're strong to do your own will, Paul said, how could God do his will? If we were weak. See, if you're strong to do your own will, that's the one God wants to destroy. Who's that? The old man. Okay? Well, God's going to judge. Look what he said in verse 17. As for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will judge between sheep and sheep, the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have fed upon the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture, and to have drank of the clear waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. You know what that means? It means ministers who have partaken of the Word of God, but their walk in the world causes everything they say to be useless. Right. When you tread the waters with your feet and you muddy the waters with your feet, when you're walking a carnal walk and you're not walking a sanctified walk, then you can speak the truth, but it don't have any weight to it. It don't mean anything. The sheep are feeding off of what you're saying. The sheep end up being what they hear. And so what do? They're feeding on your life, seeing your life, seeing the way you walk the walk with Jesus. And they're eating what you have fouled with your feet. You see? And that's what I believe he's saying there. And as for my sheep, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which you have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus saith the Lord Jehovah unto them, Behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you thrust with the side and with the shoulder and push all the disease with your horns. How many people you know that? I mean, Mark was a good testimony on the best there. I don't know if y'all heard Mark's testimony. Everywhere he went to try to get delivered from alcoholism, all they would do is judge him. They would never tell him how to get delivered from alcoholism, how to walk the walk of faith with the Lord to be delivered. They just shoved him. They wanted him out of their church. They ran him out of the churches, you know. Because you thrust with the side and with the shoulder and push all the disease with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, prince among them. See, the Lord said, he that overcometh will sit down with me in my throne. In my throne. I thought a throne was for one to sit in. That's true. A throne is for one to sit in. But there is some people and some ministers who are going to become one with one another and one with the Lord. And they're going to be one with the Lord because it's going to be the Lord ministering through them and not themselves. And not them taking their authority, you know, not going before their sin. How the gospel, how can they go except they be sent, the scripture says? How many have gone and not been sent?
Yeah.
Many. See, David's ministry is coming. David's ministry is on the horizon. It's God raising up a ministry that he is trained. They have walked. They have got the board out of their eye. And they're ready. And they're being sent. Go to Zechariah chapter 11 just for a moment. I'm going to tell you what God is going to do to this Saul ministry. See, it's God has raised up a foolish shepherd in the land. Believe me, God has. God raised up Saul, didn't he? And Saul was a foolish shepherd, didn't he? And who took Saul's kingdom away? Wasn't it the David ministry? See? Didn't he say, I'm going to shepherd my sheep, but I'm going to set up over them one shepherd? And that's David. See? God's moving the Saul ministry out the way, the foolish ministry out the way. How's he going to do it? It's very simple. He's going to tell you right here. 11 and 15. The Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet again the instruments of a foolish shepherd. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land who will not visit those that are cut off, neither will he seek those that are scattered, nor heal that which is broken, nor feed that which is sound. But he will eat the flesh of the fat sheep and will tear their hooves in pieces. You know what eating the flesh is, huh? That's let me live a high life off my tithes, okay? That's eating the flesh of the fat sheep. Well, what's tearing their hooves? I'll tell you what tearing their hooves is. A hoof is a symbol of sanctification. It's a symbol of separation from the sheep, from the world, from the earth, from that which is earthly. See, when Moses went up on the mountain to talk to the Lord, he said, take off your shoes. He said, you're on holy ground. Why was that? Because God did not want him separated from holiness so that he could talk with the Lord. He said, take off your shoes. Everybody thought, well, that's a symbol of humble, being humbled. No. God didn't want... See, that was holy ground. God did not want him separated from holy ground. But what is this ground we're walking on around here? This is the earth. He was up on the mountain with God. But this is the earth. He wants you separated from what is earthly. What did he show his disciples when he washed their feet? He washed the earth away from their walk with the Lord. What was earthly? He washed it away. It was a symbol. It's a symbol of sanctification. See? That's what the hoof is. It's a symbol of sanctification. What's sanctification? Separation from what's earthly. And so, what's the worthless shepherd, what is he doing? He's breaking the hooves off of the sheep so that they're not separated from what is earthly. He's bringing them down. He's bringing God down and sharing him on an earthly level. And he's permitting us to live an earthly life instead of a spiritual life by teaching that which is sound. And so they tear off the hooves of the sheep. But what would the worthless shepherd that leaves the flock? Here's what's going to happen now. Here's how God's going to separate. You watch. In fact, you can see it happening now. He said, the sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. See, what's the right eye? It's the Lord's discernment. Why? Because the sheep were put on the right side of the Lord, and the goats on the left side of the Lord. Spiritual discernment, spiritual understanding, is what the Lord is going to take away from these worthless shepherds. The arm is the strength by which you do your works. The hand in the Scriptures is works. It's what you do. Remember the mark of the beast was on the back of the hand. Why? Because it was beastly works. And back over in Exodus 13 and 16, where Revelation 13 and 16 talks about the mark of the beast, in Exodus 13 and 16 it talks about the mark of the Lord, how that they would bind the word of the Lord upon their hand. Why? What does that mean? It means the works of God, according to the Scriptures. You know, the works of God. And so what's he going to do? The sword is going to be upon his arm. And it's going to be dried up. Why? Because his strength to do the right side, his strength, his spiritual strength, his godly strength to do the work of the Lord is going to cease. It's going to cease. They're not feeding the pure word of God. They're not feeding the truths of God's word. They're cluttering up the water with their walk with the Lord. And God's going to stop it. We see it happening. You've been seeing it happen. All these ministers falling. And I mean, look, you're seeing what the TV shows, but this is happening all over the world.
Those are signs that the end time is near, isn't it?
That's right. It's time when the David ministry is going to take over. And the Lord himself is going to rule his people. Look at Micah chapter 3. And they're war with one another. What causes the divisions in God's people?
Is it the people or is it the ministry? Think about it. Who has divided God's people? Who did Paul say in Acts, I believe it was chapter 20, that was going to come in and divide the flock? Drawing away people after their own selves. He said, even from among you, and he was talking to the elders there, Miletus. He said, even from among you. Right. And, who, and dividing the flock. It is the ministers that have divided the flock. It is not the people. It is not the people. They're interested in truth, you know.
Well, we would not have Baptist, Methodist.
That's right.
We wouldn't have any of that.
It's those who lusted for power, lusted for authority. Men that did that. It's not humbling and taking the back seat that causes those divisions.
No.
It's men lusting after people are following.
Yeah.
Are following. That's what causes everyone.
Something about diversification and what
So watch, read right here. You see the same thing. And they war with one another because they want to be the greatest. They war just like the world. The ministers war just like the world does. Look what it says here. It says,
in a 3-1,
where are we?
Micah chapter 3. It said, and I said, hear, I pray ye, the heads of Jacob, the rulers of the house of Israel, it's not for you to know justice. They're not going to know justice. They don't know it. You who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off them. See, that's your protection, right? Your skin is your protection, you know, from germs. In other words, it keeps you from being protected from the world and what's satanic and so on and so forth. You pluck their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones. Who also eat the flesh of my people. In other words, they're a partaker of the natural things that these people have, you know, just lusting after their money and their so on and so forth. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people to err, that bite with their teeth and cry, peace. And whoso putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. In other words, if you don't submit to them and their way of doing things and do it the way they want to do it and give in to their ego, they'll make war against you. They'll run you off. They're not interested in somebody. They're not interested in somebody that knows more than them. They get jealous quick, boy, when somebody comes in there. I know. I've seen it. I have seen it. You come in there and act like you know the word, boy, they'll be quick to run you off. They'll find some reason to run you off because they don't want no competition. See? That's the way they look at it. This is a competitive thing with these ministers. It's competitive with them. It's not sharing the glory of God and let you do what you're gifted to do and I'll do what I'm gifted to do. Oh, no, they're not going to permit that. It's I'm the king. And there ain't no other king but me, you see. Big I and little you business. Therefore it shall be night unto you. Remember the sword upon the eye? He said, therefore it shall be night unto you, that you shall have no vision. And it shall be dark unto you, that you shall not divine. And the sun shall go down upon the prophets, and the day shall be black over them. Well, I saw this happen. Look, when I came to this mission over here, watch this now, the Lord was showing, giving me a sign. When I came to this mission over here and I started preaching the word, and I just use a lot of word whenever I preach, Rick, the guy that was there, he just kind of backed up. And I said, Rick, ain't you going to teach anymore? He says, no, he said, I just feel like the Lord dried me up. I said, well, do you know that Rick was blind in his right eye? Did you know that? He was going blind in his right eye. And I prayed for him, and the Lord healed that eye. And it wasn't just a few days later that eye started going blind again. And the Lord told me, don't mess with it. That was a sign. Remember the sword will be upon his right eye? That was a sign to me because the Lord pointed that out to me, who he was. And the Lord told Rick. Rick told me, because Rick moved in prophecy, it just wasn't the Lord's prophecy. But he told me 4 or 5 times, he said, the Lord told me, I'm Saul, and you're David. And that's exactly what the Lord told me. He said, you let the Philistines take him out. Don't you bother to take him out. He said, let the Philistines take him out. That's what the Lord told me too. And the Philistines did take him out. Because he was doing wrong. And I thought several times, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? You want me to, you know, stand up in the church? And no. Let the Philistines take him out. So, okay. So we just started praying that the Lord would open people's eyes, and the Lord did. But you see, he was the worthless shepherd. The Lord showed me that clear. He even gave me a sign with the sword upon his eye. And it says, and the seers shall be put to shame, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips. For there is no answer of God. See, no direction from God. But as for me, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment, and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. Hear, I pray you, you heads of the house of Jacob, and rulers of the house of Israel, that abhor justice and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood, and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire. A pastor's got no business getting a salary, as far as I'm concerned, frankly. They ought to live by faith. I mean, that's just my feeling. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I feel. I don't think they ought to demand a salary, and I don't think if they do get a salary, it should be above the average means of the people that they minister to. Never should be above the average person, and that's what it ought to be. It shouldn't be teaching for hire. Freely you have received, freely give. In other words, if I minister to someone, I should do it freely. That way God can pay me freely. I don't demand a pay for ministering, because he said, freely you have received, freely give. Don't get you no purse. The laborer is worthy of his hire, Jesus said. You just go, you give freely. See, ministers are supposed to do that. They're supposed to go and give freely. I don't charge you nothing.
There wouldn't be none.
See, they're not supposed to charge anything. Ministers aren't to charge anything.
There wouldn't be no minister.
That way God can move through people's hearts. That way God can move through people's hearts to support that minister if he wants to.
Do you know how many limousines?
And if he don't want to, that minister is going to get out of the ministry quick.
That's right. There wouldn't be no ministers.
Do you know how many limousines and Rolls Royces would have to go
back? And suits and silk.
I'm telling you.
Italian shoes.
I mean, he drives the ministers quick. And if you get away from tithing to New Testament giving, that would tear down some kingdoms quick, too. I mean, quick, some kingdoms would fall just like that. Because people will start, oh, I'm supposed to listen to the Spirit and give the way the Spirit tells me to give? Oh, you know. Oh, they're not going to preach that either, because they got to keep their kingdom supported. It says, the heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord in the midst of us? No evil shall come upon us. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house of the high places of the forest. See, God is going to send the beast against Babylon. He is going to destroy traditional religion. And then these guys ain't going to mount their hill of beans. Because, look, when you break up their tradition, their structure, their kingdom, they don't know how to follow the Lord. They got no vision from the Lord. Their eyes darken. See, that's when David's kingdom's going to come in. Look at Isaiah chapter 3. See, God said, I will raise up a worthless shepherd in the land, Zechariah 11. Didn't he say that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he has done it.
Yeah.
He has done it. He had a reason for doing it. Now, this is what happened in Israel. Look, the church has followed Israel. History has repeated itself. The church has gone down the same road as Israel, the exact same road. They made their kings, okay? But we're going to come out of the kingdom era, and we're going back to the elders. That's the way God first ordained it. Underneath Moses was who? The 70 elders, right? That's how Israel was. Who was Moses? The pastors like to liken themselves unto Moses, you know, over the flock. But who was Moses? Hebrews chapter 3 said Jesus was Moses. And Moses himself said, a prophet shall the Lord God raise up like unto me. In Hebrews 3, Moses was over his house, as Jesus was the head over his house. Okay? So they can't liken themselves unto Moses. Moses is the head. Jesus is the head of the church. Who was under Jesus? Pastors? No, don't say that. The elders were under Moses. And the elders are apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, so on and so forth. But since we've got to submit to man's way of doing things, we've got to have a president and a vice president, pastor, assistant pastor. Where do you get assistant pastor in the scriptures? It's not scriptural, is it? And where is the pastor the head of the church in the scriptures? See what's happened? They've copied the world. president, vice president, the board,
secretary,
board of directors, you see? They've copied the world exactly. They haven't done anything about copying the scripture. And so what's happened? Verse 4, Isaiah 3 and 4. He said, I'll give children to be their princes. Boy, that has happened. You go and study the life of these famous ministers, and you find out their children in the Lord. Why? Because they don't know how to, they know how to do in front of the camera. They do very good in front of the camera. But when you go and you look at their personal life, you find out they still got a ford in their eye. Now, I know of a few of them, and everybody thinks they're so holy. And I know what the Lord has testified to me several times in front of some ministers. I know what the Lord showed me. Babes shall rule over them. Children shall be their princes. Babes shall rule over them. How could this happen and them not know it? Well, it did, and it is. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by the other, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the old man, and the base against the honorable. How is this happening? Well, I've seen it happen. I'm talking about the child who is in the position of leadership behaving himself proudly against the humble brother down there that's underneath him, according to the worldly, but knows more than him and is living the life more than him and is anointed more than him. Have you ever seen it happen? I do. I see it happen all the time. And so what you've got is you've got the child behaving himself proudly against the old man. I'm talking about in the Lord. He's a child of the Lord, but people recognize him because he's got the title. Pastor. Or evangelist or whatever. People recognize him. They're going to pass up that humble brother there that's been walking with Jesus, humbling himself to the Word, living the life. Uh-huh. They'll pass up, go right around that brother and go talk to this guy with the title.
Uh-huh.
They'll ignore this guy and that guy.
Yeah.
And that guy will behave himself proudly against this guy. See, it's the humble. Who is the greatest in the kingdom?
The servant.
The servant. The humble servant. The one who's not interested in being a lord. He's not interested in the money. He's not interested in the prestige, the title. None of that. Jesus didn't get none of that.
Yeah,
that's right. That's the guy that's grown up in the Lord. The other guy's the child. Look what he says. The base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother in the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler. See, the house of the father is what? This house that we're in, the kingdom of God, right? When he'll take hold of his brother and say, you have clothing. You look pretty. You come rule over us. You can draw a bunch of people, you know. You're charismatic. You know, you talk good, you know. You got money, a name, or whatever. Be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. In that day shall he lift up his voice, saying, I'll not be thy healer, for in my house is there neither bread nor clothing. See, this is the wise speaking. This is what's going to happen. Because these guys, sooner or later, when this thing starts crumbling, they're going to say, not my fault, I'm backing out.
I don't want this.
Not me. They're like the hireling that leaves the flock when the wolf comes. Oh, this ain't my flock. Look,
I'm gone.
They do go. You shall not make me ruler over this people. For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord and broken to his eyes to his glory. Verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. Why does it say women? Spiritually speaking, was this true? No, it wasn't true. Spiritually, physically speaking, it wasn't true. But spiritually speaking, it was true. Why? Because a woman, spiritually speaking, receives seed. The man sows the seed, right? Well, a minister has got to be somebody who can sow seed. The Bible says, you know, excuse me for being kind of rough, but the Bible commanded in the law that a man who was wounded in the stones couldn't enter into the house of the Lord. Why? Why did he say that? Because he couldn't sow seed.
Right.
See, it's got to be. See, Paul said, "You have not many fathers."
that I begat you through the gospel. He was a father. Why was Paul a father? Because he sowed seed. See? But these are women. They're not supposed to be sowing seed. They're supposed to be receiving seed. They're children. They should be humbling themselves to the Word of God underneath ministers, but yet they're ministers. See what I'm talking about? See what it's saying? They've got no business doing what they're doing. I'm talking spiritually now. Don't try to drag us into a carnal level. I'm talking spiritually speaking. Let's see.
Well, does this have something to do with that verse that, was it about the eunuchs? And so some were king, some did it purposely, and
right.
Some were made that way. And
right, for the kingdom of heaven, sir.
And what was that? Does that
well,
have something in that?
Yeah. Because we're not to sow our own seed.
Oh, okay.
We're to sow the seed of God. Oh, Paul didn't sow his
yeah,
own seed.
Yeah.
He was a father because he sowed the seed of God.
Uh-huh.
You see. And so, yeah, we have to be, we're supposed to be eunuchs, spiritually speaking. You know, because we don't sow our own seed. We don't speak our own words. What was the seed? The Word of God.
Yeah.
Matthew 13, Jesus said the seed. He was the sower that went forth to sow, and he sowed the Word of God in the earth. See?
Yeah.
Well, what we're sowing seed in is in the earth.
This, you're right. Yeah.
This earth, you see.
Right.
And so, he goes on to say, O my people that lead thee, cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to contend, and to stand to judge the peoples. The Lord will enter into judgment with the elders of his people, and the princes thereof. It is ye that have eaten up the vineyard. Who's he talking to? The elders? These so-called ministers. It's you that's eating up the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your houses. Boy, they are. They're living fat and sassy off the people, you see. What mean ye to crush my people and grind the face of the poor, saith the Lord Jehovah of hosts? Ministers should live an example. They should live a humble life. They shouldn't need the things of the world so much. These ministers, the common ministry nowadays, they've got to have the things of the world. If they ain't got the things of the world, they're not happy. Well, somebody who's grown in the Lord don't need the things of the world. They're so happy and just enjoying God and running after God that they don't have time to go fishing every weekend, go do this and go do that, and have big speed boats and all this other Cadillacs. What do they need a Cadillac for? Cadillac don't impress me, you know. Ministers who are running after the Lord and enjoying the Lord, the things of the world. He said, if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not.
Right.
Okay, now watch. Look at them. See which ones love the world because they don't love the God. That's what the Bible says in 1 John. They're loving the world and they can say all they want. It's okay to have it so long as you don't set your heart on it. That is pure ignorance. If you've got it, your heart's on it.
Well,
because there's people out there starving to death, and here you've got to have this great big fancy car and this speedboat and this big fancy house. How can you not have your heart on it? There's no way. If you've got it, your heart is on it. See, we don't need that. The Bible says, be content. He said, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Be content with food and covering. Be content with the essentials. Don't have to have all these, lusting after all these things, these prosperity preachers lusting after all these things. And where are they getting them from? The sheep. They're eating the sheep, eating the flesh of the fat sheep, you know. This ain't God's way. Jesus was a humble, he didn't have anything place to lay his head. He was a humble minister. He had just what he needed, you know. His disciples, Lord, we've left everything to follow you, you know. But yet, everywhere they went, their needs were met. Everywhere they went, their needs were met.
Yeah, he said the fox has his fox hole and the bird the nest, but he didn't think of anywhere to lay his head.
Someone even had to loan him a tomb when he died. He didn't have a burial spot. Born in a manger.
Look at 1 Samuel in chapter 8. Folks, we're fixing to see a revolution, I believe, in the ministry.
Tearing down and plucking up and rebuilding.
That's right. Rebuilding the foundation. Foundation's got to be the ministry. He said, upon the foundation of the apostles, prophets, and the prophets, he said in Ephesians. That's what the church is built on. If you got a faulty foundation, you got to start there first. Judgment begins at the house of God. And in the house of God, it begins with the ministry.
Yeah.
that's not the Lord, that's Dave, but it's still the truth. I mean, that's not, I'm not quoting that out of the Word. See, in verse 7, the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not be the king over them, according to all the works that they have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt. When they demanded a king, is what he's talking about. When they demanded a king, it would be like all the other peoples. Like in verse 19. But the people refused to hearken to the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, but we will have a king over us, that we may be like all the nations. Isn't that the truth? See, the king is like the nations. What? Like a president, vice president, or like the king, you know? See? It set up the whole governmental order of the church is set up after the world with a king at the head. But there ain't supposed to be no king at the head but Christ. See? That's the problem. Like that we may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. See, isn't that the way the churches are? The preacher's supposed to handle all that. He gave apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints unto the work of the ministry. Who's supposed to do the ministry? Everybody's supposed to be raised up into the ministry.
Right.
You know? Look what he'll do now. And he warned him. Verse 10. Samuel told all the people the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He shall take your sons and appoint them unto him for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and they shall run before his chariots. In other words, they're going to do the will of the king, right? The pastors demand obedience of the people underneath them to do their work, do what they want. They appoint them to different things that they want done. Never mind what the gift that's in the person. It's what they want, you see. They're pulling their chariot, okay? And he will appoint them unto him for captains of thousands and captains of fifties. Didn't that happen, man? Cell groups and things. And he will set them to plow his ground, to reap his harvest, and make his instruments of war, and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be perfumers, and to be cooks, and to be bakers. And he will take your fields, and your vineyards, and your olivines, and even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed. There you go, boy, he's going to get that tithe in you. And of your vineyards, and give to his officers. Isn't that what happens? That's exactly what's happening today. I mean, the same thing is happening. And to be his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. Look, here's the thing. Pastors are taking the people to be his servants, not the Lord's servants. What's the minister's job? The minister's job is to disciple you to Jesus. Hey, let me tell you how to follow Jesus. That's the minister's job. And yeah, just like Rick was saying, he's to work himself out of a job. Let me show you how to follow Jesus, not me. Let me show you how to follow right. Jesus. Let me show you how to hear from the Lord. Right. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Children aren't led by the Spirit. See, there's a difference in the Scripture between children of God and sons of God. Sons of God is a mature child. And mature childs hear the voice of their father. And Jesus said, and others they won't hear. Another voice they won't follow. See, if you're mature and walking after the Lord, you're not going to follow anybody else's voice. I don't care if it's a pastor or who. If he's contrary to the Lord, ignore him. He has no authority. Anytime a man, I don't care what his label, doesn't make any difference. If he's contrary to the Lord and you know it, ignore him. He has no authority. They can threaten you. They can say you have to submit, They're watching in behalf of your souls. They can quote all them verses, But if he's not speaking for the Lord and you know it, and the Lord's spoken contrary in your heart, ignore it.
Beware of these wolves in sheep's clothing.
That's right. Exactly. But anyhow, look in I was going to go on and look at Saul, but it would be too lengthy, but... Now that God picked out, like in 9 and 2, he picked out a really nice-looking guy, Big, tall fella. Higher than any of the people. Goodly person.
Yep,
and all the people said, yeah, that's the guy we want. Look at that guy, would you?
But what did David do? He went and killed somebody just like him with a little slingshot.
Yeah. So God's doing a new thing. I remember that vision. I think I shared it here before. It was that I'd seen this cow in the way of the power lines, these big high-tension power lines that these men were coming through. I saw this vision real clear. I can still see it real clear right now. I see these big high-tension power lines coming through, and this cow was in the way. And I was standing there looking at these power lines and looking at this cow. This front-end loader come up and scooped the cow up. I was taking the cow off, and I picked up the baby that was laying beside the cow. And I was like going up this escalator with this baby. And the scene changed. And then I was going into this room with all these famous ministers. You know? And Jimmy Swagger walked up to me in the vision. He walked up to me and gave me some papers. And I looked at these papers, and it was like a bunch of tracks all folded up, you know. And the thought came into my head in the vision. Of course, your thoughts aren't your thoughts in a vision. It's the Lord. He's giving it all to you. Your thoughts, your impressions, everything. He's giving it to you, you know. And so my thought was this is his propaganda, what he has accomplished. And the word propaganda, everything came from him. This is his propaganda about what he has accomplished. When the Lord gave me the vision, he explained to me that the real power of God, the tension, the high tension lines that were coming through, the real power of God is being stopped right now by the cow, which is that old gold, that old golden calf that's come to pure, full maturity. And it's a cow because it only feeds milk, the milk of the Word, no meat. It only feeds milk, and it only eats grass, which Peter said, all flesh is as grass. It's a fleshly understanding of the Word that they partake of, and they only feed the milk of the Word because that's all they're able to feed. That is the institutional, organized church visible that we see. It's going to be moved out of the way. These famous ministers that are blinded because of what they have accomplished, what they have accomplished, what they think they have accomplished. Their propaganda about what they've done. They think that they can get by with not living a righteous life because of what they have accomplished. But when these, like in Matthew 7, when they come to the Lord and they say, Lord, Lord, did we do many mighty works in your name? Did we cast out devils in your name? Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Look, it don't matter who you are. You've got to live a holy life. Don't make any difference who you are. What you have accomplished, it won't make a hill of beans. What you have accomplished won't mean nothing if you haven't led a holy life. And these ministers are blinded by what they think they have done. They haven't done anything. If we do something, it's us. If the Lord does it, it's the Lord. Well, if they've done something, it's them, and they don't get a reward for it. But if the Lord's done something, it's the Lord. And the Lord can use a donkey. The Lord stayed the madness of the prophet, the Scripture says, by opening that donkey's mouth. And the Lord would rather use a donkey, frankly. He'd rather use the foolish things of the world so the people could look at that and say, that's God. See, they took knowledge that these ignorant apostles had been with Jesus.
Yeah.
They were uneducated men. That's how they took knowledge that they'd been with Jesus, because look at what was coming out of their mouth, and yet these were uneducated men. So what did they do? I mean, it impressed them, right? That's the thing. When God wants to use... Why did he pick Moses? Even look in Exodus chapter 4. Moses wasn't impressed with his own ability.
No.
He
said he couldn't speak very well.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at right here in Exodus chapter 4. Moses, verse 10, Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. For I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who's made man's mouth? Who maketh a man dumb, or deaf, or seeing, or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Well, that's not traditional either, is it? We better not read that part. What it means is what it says. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt speak. See, God chose a weak vessel, somebody that wasn't, you know, a gifted speaker, you know. God chose a weak vessel so he could do it through him, and so everybody else would give glory to God and not the vessel. See? Because if you've got somebody that's gifted, he does something wonderful, well, you give credit to him. But if you've got somebody that's just a buffoon up there, and the Lord uses him like he used that donkey, well, that's God. Everybody says, that's God, you know. I tell you, look, I know I'm nobody, believe me. I know I'm nobody. I know where the Lord brought me from. When I was in school, I refused to get up in front of the class and give any kind of speech or any of that. I said, you give me an F, I am not going to do that. I would not do that. I was fearful. I was trembling to get up in front of people.
I was
insecure and so self-conscious. There ain't no way you could get me up. You could beat me, and I would not get up in front of the class. And I just flat out right told my teacher, I am not going to get up there. I said, you just give me an F. I will not do it. Forget it. And they did. They knew I was serious because I wouldn't do it. And up until the time I came to the Lord, there wasn't no way you could ever get me to talk in front of people. I was the quietest guy in a gathering that you ever saw. And I'm still that way unless I'm talking about the Lord, because I have got no interest other than the Lord. You can talk about your hobbies and all that, and talk about, you know, the flowers and the weather and all that. And I usually sit there and shut my mouth because I'm not interested, you know. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to talking about the Lord, I enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I feel anointed to talk about the Lord.
Yeah.
But the Lord just chose a buffoon in me, believe me. Because I am nothing. To do the little job that I'm doing, I know I'm not doing no great job either. But to do what I do is a miracle. I know it. And the people that know me from back when know it. And Mary knows it. See? And that's what God's fixing to do. He's fixing to choose people that nobody in the world would consider God using this person.
Yeah.
The worldly church has picked their worldly men. They have got their Sauls, and now God's fixing the top of their Sauls off the throne. You know?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a wicked spirit that God sends, like God sent an evil spirit to Saul.
Yeah.
It moves him out of that position. And so even Moses wasn't impressed with his ability. And that's what makes you qualified. You know, if you're impressed with your ability, you ain't qualified. You ain't qualified. If you're impressed with your own ability, you're just not qualified to do the work of the Lord. You've got to say, well, Lord, you've got to do it because I'm not able. Lord, I am unable to do your work. I am unable. You can plan. Look, the people that plan out their ministry, plan out their preaching, Jesus didn't tell them to do that. He said, don't take any thought. Settle it beforehand not to take any thought of what you're going to say, what you're going to do. Because in that very hour, my Heavenly Father will give you what to say. Kind of like what we're doing tonight, you know. I mean, I thought, well, I'm going to go on with the preaching on the sovereignty of God, you know. Well, it wasn't the Lord's will, you know.
So,
praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. She knew it. I didn't know it, you know. You know. But my best sermons have been when I hadn't the foggiest idea what I was going to get into, and the Lord just, you know, carried on, you know. Because then I was weak. I didn't know what I was going to say. I didn't plan it all out. I didn't, you know. Which I don't generally plan it all out. But that's what the Lord wants. He wants all of us to be weak to do our own will and weak to do His will. He wants us to be so weak that we will not plan, okay, this is the way God does things nowadays. You know, we know how God does it, so we're going to go do it. You know, we're going to help God out. God don't want no help. He does not want any help. Every time we go to help the Lord, we get in His way.
Yes.
He wants you to cease from your works and enter into His rest. Some people feel guilty when they're resting.
Yeah, that's
the Lord
right.
Taught me, look, don't feel guilty. You can't do anything for me. You back up, shut up, and get out the way. All I want to do is use that body. Yeah. That's all He wants. He wants submitted vessels. He does not want your expertise. He wants submitted vessels.
Yeah.
And He wants your understanding. He wants you to get in this Word and renew your mind, so that you can hear the voice of the Spirit. See? Because if you haven't renewed your mind with this Word, you're going to hear some voices, all right, but they ain't going to be the voice of the Spirit. And you're going to be teaching some teaching, all right, but it ain't going to be the teaching of the Spirit. Unless we get the mold out of our eye, we are not ready to go and get the mold out of our brother's eye. We'll see clearly. What's the matter with these ministers we talked about when their eye was darkened? They couldn't see clearly to help anybody.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Too many ministers out there, they're not feeding the sick, they're not raising up the weak, they're not healing the lame, and so on and so forth, all those things. I like to read Timothy and Titus because it gives all the conditions for being an elder. And look, there's lots of people that they don't pay much attention to the conditions for being an elder. They don't even try to apply it to their own ministry, you know, because there's an awful lot of ministers that are unqualified. They are not elders. They are not sent by God, because it's very clear in Timothy and Titus, the qualifications, they don't fit them. They don't fill the bill. He said in Titus 1 and 5, he says, "For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and appoint elders in every city." Well, by the way, all the elders in the Bible were appointed by apostles. There's a lot of self-proclaimed elders running around, you know,
yeah,
or appointed by other elders.
Right.
And an apostle is gifted to appoint elders. He's gifted to notice and to see the gift that's in that person, and God gives him an anointing to appoint that elder to be what he is, either apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, whatever, you know. So here he's telling Titus, and a lot of people don't know it, but Titus was an apostle. According to 2 Corinthians 8:23, Titus was an apostle. But he told him here to appoint elders in every city, as I gave thee charge. If any man is blameless, that would knock a lot of them out right there. The husband of one wife, having children that believe, who are not accused of riot or unruly. For the bishop must be blameless as God's steward. Not self-willed, not sin-angry, no brawler, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre. That's gain, you know. But given to hospitality. A lover of good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding to the faithful word. That'll knock a lot of them out right there. Which is according to the teaching, that he may be able to both exhort in sound doctrine and to convict the gainsayers. In 2 Timothy 4 and 1, he says, I charge thee in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus that shall judge the living and the dead by the appearing of his kingdom. Preach the word, be urgent in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lusts, and will turn away their ears from hearing the truth, and turn aside unto fables. Try that one sometime. Try that going applying this to those ministers' lives and see, do they fill the bill, you know?
Yeah.
Because boy, you can tell quick. Somebody who's grown up in the Lord can do those things, can walk that walk. They can, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, they fulfill all of that. They're not lovers of money, and they got their house in order. And they are not, don't have a reproach. And they have a good testimony of them that are without, you know. They're temperate, sober-minded, orderly, given to hospitality, all these things. This ought to be applied. People ought to seriously apply this to their ministry, you know. And if they did, there'd be a whole lot less ministry. That's or else what you do is you take some out and you put some in. You know? And some of them that are in need to be out. Some of them that are out need to be in. And that's what the Lord's getting ready to do.